You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode, and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. builtforthestage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation.
As always, we have a special guest on the podcast today. So kind, so nice, so genuine. The second time we've met in person, but he's been a Built for the Stage fam for a good while now. But I feel like he's the kind of person that, like, no matter if you're having a bad day or like the worst day in the world, if you see him, he's going to make your day better. And that person, my friends, is Michael Fasano.
Oh,
welcome to the
you.
Podcast.
Thank you for that intro. That was so nice.
Michael,
wow.
Michael is an actor, but he's also the producer of Equity One. Equity One is another podcast on BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com. He actually co-produces it with Dori Berenstein, and then don't forget about producer dad, Alan Seals.
All I would say I'm more of an unofficial producer on the podcast.
Podcast dad.
Oh, sorry.
Podcast.
What did I call you?
Producer dad.
Oh, producer dad. That's a whole other story. All right, so... unofficial then.
I'm just the pushy voice.
But you're Elliot's official manager though.
Oh, I absolutely manage him.
What's going on with that guy right now?
He is in the ensemble of Beetlejuice, smash hit Broadway show. They're getting ready to have their big October, performances.
Oh gosh, it's going to be
huge. Exactly. That's if ever there was a month for a show, it's October for Beetlejuice.
I feel like it'd be entertaining just to like. Stand on the sidewalk and see how the people are dressed to like come see the show.
Oh God, everybody, people in most of the shows, they get people in costume and there's so many amazing fans for that show. So it's
Halloween's
been very exciting.
Insane though.
Oh yeah. I want to go. I'll go again. I've seen it like 4 times.
Maybe that's what I'll do.
Yes.
I'm gonna like put that down. Can you be my manager and put that?
I will absolutely manage Built for the Stage podcast as well. Multi-talented.
So. I'm not kidding. I'm right now emailing myself. Beetlejuice, Halloween.
Yes.
Oh, that would be
He'll give you a backstage tour. He loves giving
so tours. Fun. So like, do you like make sure he brushes his teeth in the morning?
Yes, actually, like, yeah.
He ties his shoes. The weather's getting colder. Make sure you put a coat
Elliot's
on.
Elliot's a busy guy, so I just, you know, I call it gentle reminders.
You're a busy guy too. You just got off of the cruise line for Jersey Boys.
That's right.
Where you were singing your face off.
Oh, was I?
As Frankie Valli.
Mm-hmm.
Get into that. Like,
yeah.
The vocal stamina. All right. Besides Frankie Valli, can you think of producer dad? No, I mean, podcast dad. You can think about this too. Can you think of another male role in a musical where you're like, oh my gosh, is there another demanding role, tenor role like this?
Oh my gosh. I have to think about it. I don't know. I can think of a lot of female roles actually come to mind, like, you know, Elphaba and Elle and Legally Blonde. Like,
what about the Rock of Ages?
Oh, guy? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Rock of Ages.
That would
absolutely
be tough,
right? I think any musical that is based on rock music or a rock singer, it's just going to be so... The vocals are such a huge part of it.
What about Hamilton?
I mean, there's a little more speak singing, rapping, and but I'm sure that's hard too. Like,
you're Evan Hansen.
Oh, that's a good one. That's good.
But is there any role that just lives in the rafters the entire time?
I'm gonna go with no.
When it was on the Broadway,
yeah.
Did they not have a Frankie matinee guy?
They do.
Just the matinees?
Yeah. Well, and we have something similar on the ship. So there's actually two of us who play Frankie, because anytime the show is performed on the ship, there's two performances back to back. So I would.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, yeah. So there's, it's really, and the changeover is about an hour. So basically, I would do one show and then another gentleman would do the second show. And then the following night we would flip it. And then he would do it, and then I would do it. So it's just physically impossible to do it twice in a row, I think.
Was there an understudy for the two of you?
Yes.
Okay, I was about to say. Yeah.
So the original team that mounts Jersey Boys on land also mounts it on the ship, so we follow the original tracking. So we have two guys playing Frankie, and then there's a swing for Frankie, and then there's also the person who plays Joe Pesci understudies Frankie. So there's four people basically responsible for the role.
Tell us what it is to be an actor on a cruise ship, because
sure.
A lot of us, if you're in the business, you probably just say, well, it's a great time to see amazing places and save a lot of money.
Yep.
And then others might have no idea what it is to be a performer on a cruise ship. Tell us a little bit of like a day in the life.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of downtime because, you know, the way they run a lounge on a ship is they want to keep it fresh. So there's usually another show going on. There's other acts that go on. So Jersey Boys really only has two nights of the week there. So the rest of the week... you know, that's why Built for the Stage was like perfect for me at this time, because I had like nothing to do. So basically the first 5 days of the cruise, nothing. So, you know, if it's a sea day, you kind of plan accordingly. Like, you have your three meals a day, you have your gym time. You know, there's always stuff to do around the ship. Once we hit the ports, it's a little more interesting. You can get off and explore or go on the excursions with the passengers. I mean, or write a novel or,
right.
I mean, like...
The time is endless.
Yeah, like people take online classes. There's so much that you can do in that time. And it's, as far as money, it's a great time to save, you know? That's a huge draw to working on cruise ships, so... So yeah, just waiting for those show days.
So with time, sometimes when you have time in your hands, you said, well, that was why Built for the Stage was so great.
Yeah.
Other people, though, they would have found time to just eat and drink their face off.
Yeah, well, okay, I'm not even... That is a temptation, because you live beneath like a 24-hour buffet that's delicious.
Yeah.
And then there's also, at least on the Bliss, this Jersey Boys is on the Norwegian Bliss. And it's a brand new ship, and there's something like 6 or 7 other restaurants there, all different themes, all different food. So that was very tempting. And actually, when we first started Built for the Stage, I was like, do you mean that I can't have like a cookie like as my dessert every day? And you were like, no.
Every day, no.
Absolutely
I give
not.
The free passes.
Yeah, there's free pass.
I give the free passes. You went through such a transformation.
Thank you.
We had coffee a month ago.
Yeah, I think it was a month ago.
And just the conversation was so inspiring to me. Obviously, aww. I'm your coach, but like, you were inspiring me. And I was like, I got to have you on the podcast to share
thank
this.
You.
And not only aesthetically, but the way you felt and mm-hmm. the way that it just changed your psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Like, tell us a little bit about maybe the beginning and then... Just, you know, how we had coffee. Whatever you said that day was just like gold.
I know. That was a great conversation. And I had been dying to meet you, because once Built for the Stage started to like click for me, I was like, oh my God, this is exactly like tailor made for me, literally, for just the kind of psyche I needed to be in order to achieve what I wanted to achieve with it. Let's see. Well, I guess, what was the beginning of this question?
How did it start? Like, when did you make the decision of, you know, I want to try to make a change or get in shape and all that?
Well, I have always, you know, I've never been necessarily like super out of shape, but I've never been in the shape I wanted to be in. And what I felt like the type of shape that people were in competitively as actors in the city, like I would look around and see these guys and be like, ugh, I just don't compare. And I was going to the gym a lot, but I wasn't seeing results. So it started to come to a head a year ago. And I was like, all right, I really want to commit to fitness. And I started to kind of, you know, meet with trainers and stuff, but nothing was clicking. And then I follow people on Instagram who were doing Built for the Stage. So I started seeing it over and over again. And I was like, I like the business model. Like, I like the idea of being built for the stage, for someone to actually address that, because and being an actor is athletic, like it's a sport, mm-hmm. and it's
you're an athlete.
You absolutely are, because it's not just about, you know, how you look, but it's also about, you know, your mind, your headspace, and your diligence, and like your ability and your want to get things done and to follow like a list of tasks. Like, there's just so many,
and to perform well over and over.
Yeah, it takes a lot of stamina. And with playing Frankie too, like I was dead in the beginning. We would finish a rehearsal that maybe had a run through, and I would go back to the apartments and just pass out. Like I just didn't have the type of energy that you needed to build up to be able to do this. So I started thinking, okay, I'm seeing all this Built for the Stage. I like this guy's idea. I think I'm gonna, you know, do it. And then I called you on the phone from the Caribbean, I think. And then so we had our conversation, and I was like, are you sure I can't have cookies? And you were like, not as many as you're having, no. And I was like, fine. And so we started doing it. And within a few weeks, I realized the way that I approached the gym was totally different. Like, I had been in there hamster wheeling, just like completely like not paying attention, doing the same stuff.
I call it the library.
Yeah.
When they're on like the bike or elliptical and they're reading.
Yes.
I'm like, if you're reading, no. Like, No.
You're not doing it. And the thing that's...
Maybe on an active rest day, but not right now.
Not right now. And the thing is, like, I think we talked about this when we had coffee. Like, now when I go to the gym and I see other people in that fog, in that, like, I'm going to the gym and I'm doing my thing, but I'm, like, checking my email and taking phone calls and skimming through music and skimming through Instagram, you're not getting anything done. And so for the amount of hours, I remember somebody, they weren't even meaning to be shady, but they literally were like, oh wow, so you actually like spend a lot of time in the gym? And it's like, you shouldn't have to ask me that. You should be able to tell. But I wasn't getting results because I was there, but I wasn't working. So about the thing with Built for the Stage is you have to pay attention. Like you map out the workout. And for me, it was a lot of things that I'm not used to doing. So I had to watch the videos. I had to read the written sort of like write up on it. I had to be aware of what rep I was on and what set I was on. And it was requiring like a mental attention that I've never once given in the gym. And that's when I realized like, oh yeah, This is different. Like, this has to do with my way of life. This doesn't have to do necessarily with just the gym, because mm-hmm. like, you kind of realize you've been on autopilot for a very long time, and like, and anything you do, that should never be the case. You should always be fully invested in what you're putting your money into, what you're putting your time into, and what you're doing with your body. Like, you have to be paying attention to your body. So I felt like once I started realizing that, and I was like, oh, okay, I stopped listening to music. I don't now, like, this is my sixth month, I think, with Built for the Stage. I don't even bring my headphones.
Wow, you're hardcore.
Isn't that crazy? Well, because honestly,
it's not a requirement.
No, no, and I'm sure people can do it.
Occasional cookies are allowed, as is listening to music.
You know, and you should ask Elliot the way I eat cookies now. I'll buy a cookie and have like a piece every day for like a week and a half.
Wow, that's moderation to the extreme.
I know myself.
What an oxymoron. Extreme moderation.
It really is what it is. But also, it's more guilt-free for me. And honestly, now I've cut back on my sugar so much that if I eat a full cookie, I feel crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, kind of like shaky and weird. So it's better just to have these little bits of it.
It's funny how your body adapts, right? You can't imagine like not having it. And then when you do, you can't imagine going back to doing what you were before.
Well, and also I can't imagine it making me feel bad. Like I used to eat sweet, like I mean we could really unpack this. Like I had a thing with eating sweets. I'm like addicted, and it used to kind of make me feel like a rush, like, oh my gosh, like yum. And now it's like it's something that, you know, I have to tread lightly with. It's just not a part of my life anymore, and it's not important to me anymore. And that's another thing I feel like I got from Built for the Stage. Mm-hmm. Like I just put more priority on what I put into my body, you know?
Yeah, everything that we put in our body should have a purpose.
Yeah.
Even if it is a cheat treat or whatever, the purpose should be, I want to enjoy myself, you know?
And do you remember, I used to like send you pictures of like what I was eating and that, because I was like, okay, can I eat that? Like, I really wanted to get that right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and everyone listening right now, hopefully you're not hearing this in a pretentious meathead way. Like, there's a whole different way that you can actually feel inside, depending upon what you're fueling your body with.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not trying to be those people like, oh, whatever.
Oh, never.
But just try it. And the first day, the first week, it's tough.
Yeah.
But your body, speaking of turning a corner, turns the corner and it adapts. And then it starts to embrace like the natural desire to want to live in this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's get to you training while you were playing Frankie.
Sure.
So at first I remember you're like, oh, I don't want to train on days I play Frankie.
Nope.
And then we kind of took a slow like merge.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Yeah. Well, what happened was our itineraries change a lot. So our show days kept changing. And I honestly felt guilty asking you to keep changing the schedule. So it was like halfway through the, cause at first I said, I can't do anything on a show day. When I have Jersey Boys, I have to sit in my bed all day and drink water and be a monk. And then, midway through the contract, I was like, oh, okay, I have a workout scheduled on this Thursday. I'm just going to do it. Like, let's just see what happens. And what started happening was it actually was making my shows a lot better. I mean, I felt more warmed up going into the show as opposed to warming up throughout the show, which is basically what you do with that role. And I felt like I wasn't sweating as much. I felt like I was more... I don't know, just like at ease and ready to go and like capable. I could wrap my mind around what I was going to be doing as opposed to just kind of like being witness to it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, listen to me carefully about saying that, you know, the caution is that you have to ease into it.
Sure.
But there comes a time when you fully develop this progression that if you make your workout the toughest thing in your day, then your show will no longer be tough or as tough.
And that's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Because your whole body is awake afterwards and you have more energy than you would have had if you just did what I wanted to do, which is just sit in your bed. Mm-hmm. So it really became a routine thing for me. Like I knew that come Thursday, I think it was arm day is what it always ended up being. And then I would do my show. And I loved that. I mean, that really propelled me forward with it.
Yeah. Speaking of like the tour and not just this one, but you've done a few tours.
Yeah.
At sea, on land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of traveling.
Well, yeah. That's what I want to talk about. Because I love traveling.
Yeah.
What was one of your favorite cities, countries to go perform in?
Ooh, that's a good question. I used to love when we went to Canada. I don't know. Because
really?
Because like it feels like you're going somewhere, you know, like cool and not in the United States and whatever. But there's still the kind of those creature comforts. And you still feel like it's not too different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When, let's see, with Jesus Christ Superstar, we did quite a bit of Canada. When I did the Greece tour, I was actually in the Asian tour. So we went to Korea, Singapore, Malaysia. That was incredible. And that was actually my first job out of Boston Conservatory.
So oh, no way.
I was thrilled slash terrified slash wow. I mean, nothing can compare to that. Let me think. And then I've done some cruise ships, too, that took me to amazing places. Santorini, Greece is one of my favorite places I've ever been. I've been to Rome. That was sick.
Yeah.
Also, to perform in, I'm trying to think, what are some great houses? There was this one place, tour house, and I cannot remember where it is, but if I describe it, maybe like your listeners will remember. And we were there in October, and the whole town gets together and recreates Thriller on Halloween, and it's hilarious. Like they I wish I could remember.
Maybe Beetlejuice. It
might
that.
Have I know they really should, honestly. And it might have been like Lexington. I don't remember
all right,
where it
was. Someone DM
somebody figure that out.
Email us what city that is.
And right after we record this, I know I'm gonna remember the town. But
yeah,
anyway, that was a really cool place. The theater itself was awesome. And then, you know, we went and watched this thing where people were lying around as zombies until a certain time. And then they got up and literally processed down the street doing the Thriller choreography. I was like, this is what tour is all about.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I set you up with that one. So now I want to transition into, you've seen all these great places.
Yeah.
You've played awesome roles like Frankie Valli. How does Michael remain his best self outside of those amazing experiences?
That's a really good question.
I asked this not to target you, but to target actors, because I ask this a lot, because I feel like it is a common struggle among the community we ride these highs, and when we're not on that wave, when we're not in that show or on that tour, you know, I'm not myself. I just don't feel right. Like, how do we combat that?
Well, wow, it's really crazy that you just asked me that, because I'm going through that. I mean, I'm in between jobs right now. So I think there's a couple ways to deal with that. Actually, one of them, and I'm not even trying to suck up to you right now, is Built for the Stage. Because that, when I look at my, you know, True Coach app and I see what I have to do that day, it gives me a task. It gives me a list of things that has to get done that day. So when you wake up and you don't have a show to go to and you don't know necessarily what direction your day has for you that's going to make you feel like you, like you said, like being an actor, just to have something to do that day is very important. And to have something as detailed as what Built for the Stage lays out for you, I think it's all about kind of occupying your mind. I think that actors fall prey to their mind starting to play tricks on them and tell them, like, you're not going to work again, or it's going to be so hard before you book that job. So you have to fight that. And the best way is to see friends, to schedule things to go do, like, to, you know, to have your workout plan. Another thing I think is to look at your auditions differently, you know, because first of all, actively seek them. Don't wait for your agent to send you appointments, because like right now it's a really slow time, so you're going to be waiting. So actively seek auditions. And when you go in, I mean, those are performance opportunities. Like, that, you can't say, if you did three auditions that week, you can't say that you didn't do what you love that week, because you did, you know? And if you did it well, then that's going to serve you in helping you with your greater purpose of getting back into that show. And
I like that.
Yeah.
You hear that a lot about you auditioning is no different than performing.
Oh,
but
God, yeah.
What you said really struck me more than usual. It's just like, you're doing something, you love to do this.
Yeah. Oh, you have to remember that you love it.
And maybe auditioning, the act of auditioning, you could say, if you're listening, well, I hate to audition. But if you break it down to the core of what you're doing in the audition, you're singing, you're acting, you're dancing, you're doing your passion. And if we can hone in on that, then it might turn the tables for us.
Yeah. You can't look at auditions as a chore and work or a punishment. I mean, it's like, it's all part of it. So whether you're in a show or you're hitting the pavement and like trying to, you're always doing the same thing. We're always presenting, you know, our artistic take on something to an audience. Like, it all comes into play. Like, a couple weeks ago, I had a callback for something and I got all the material, and I at first I was like, ugh, are you kidding? Like, this is so much. Because I am terrible at reading a script in an audition room. I have to be memorized. So I was like, oh no, I have so much to learn on this. This is going to take forever. And I did not have much time, so it was a lot of pushing. And then once we got to the audition room and I did the audition, it went great. But more importantly than that, I felt like an actor. Like, I was like, that was good. That felt good. Like, I'm so glad that I disciplined myself and forced myself to not be going to a negative headspace about this. You know, that I...
When things go bad, how do you not
I don't know.
Because when you go to the... I'm still trying
I'm always good. No, just kidding. No, you know what? I just try to laugh. You got to laugh. Because more often than not, those casting directors and those directors were all actors too. And we all know that there's never a perfect run of anything. You always... There's always mistakes. There's always some sort of blooper, something to laugh at yourself. So if I have like a howler of an audition, a friend of mine just told me an audition story. Like the other day, he and the accompanist had to start over 3 times on the song. And we were just howling, laughing about it. Cause he was just like, that sucks.
Their fault or the accompanist?
I'm not even going to say. Because it's never, I hate when people blame accompanists. It's never, it's collectively our bad. But anyway, he was making me laugh so hard at it. And he exchanged a look with the casting director that was sort of like, oh my God. Like, we all know nothing's perfect.
Yeah.
So the more we can laugh about it, the more we can make this industry fun no matter what. Not just make the highs fun, but make the lows fun too. Like, it's okay. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing it, but I heard once from a director saying that the actor's job in the audition is to show the director how far they can go on their own.
Yes.
And then the director will decide, is it far enough, or is it enough for me to then think, oh, well, if they can get that far, I know that I can get them this much further.
You never want... I think my personal opinion with auditions is you never want to show a finished product, because you can't mold that. So if you just show a potential for something, and auditions to me also are more, it's more like a chemistry thing. It's like a date, you know, like there's a lot that happens unspokenly, if that's a word. I don't know if
whatever. It is right now.
Just put a Lee on it. There's a lot more like that at play than just, you know, did I nail it? Did I, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Talk more about that. I like that. It's a date.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's all about chemistry.
It's blind date too.
Absolutely.
sometimes you know who you're going in for, but sometimes you don't.
All they've seen is basically a picture. I mean, you know, depending on what the circumstance is, but they've seen a picture, they've read a bunch of credits, and that's it. So, I've heard so many audition stories, and I've actually, some of my worst auditions are what I booked. I can't even explain that.
Okay.
Because I'm a perfectionist, and I, you know, if I come out of that room and I'm like, oh, I missed that word, or oh, I hit that note kind of like sour, I feel like, you know, it takes a long road for me to laugh at myself, but I'll eventually get there. But you realize it's not necessarily about that. It's really more of a chemistry experiment. It's more like a vibey sort of like the way you would treat a first date, you know, and mostly the question always kind of lingers in the room. Do we want to see more? Like, do I want to go on another date with that person? Is that person for me? I mean, that's so much of what we do is about chemistry with the team.
I love that, because people will go in the audition room thinking, you know, like we were saying, like make them want to see more.
Yeah.
You don't want to go on, you don't want to be that person on a first date where you're just trying to come out guns blazing and show everything you got and be so abrasive.
Never.
So that makes total sense to walk in saying, you know what? I'm going to show them who I am.
Yeah.
My potential.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm going to make it enough for me to get back and make it be enough. Don't be all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If you go to open calls sometimes a lot, you hear people who will sing songs that are just like, bam, 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 bam. Like just like hitting you with all of their high notes.
Yeah,
and
then
my personal school of thought on that is like, what are you doing? Like you need to sing a song that reflects who you are. Tell them something about yourself. And nine times out of 10, and I've been around the block. So my opinion is if you can deliver something like that, that just speaks volumes of who you are and what you've lived through and what you have to say and not necessarily what you can do and like blah, 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 you're going to get a call back. You're going to spark some interest. So
We're leaving off on that because that was gold.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
The date analogy really, if I were still in the game acting and going to auditions, that would put me in a good headspace.
Nice.
That analogy of the dating. So
yeah.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
Actor, producer, manager, extraordinary.
Bossy. Just annoying.
No, the best. Thanks all for tuning in to Built for the Stage podcast. Once again, if you want to try a free trial, go to the website, builtforthestage.com, fill out your contact info there, or go to Instagram, follow us at Built for the Stage. And shoot me a DM. If you want to follow Michael on the gram, you can go to Michael D, as in dog, or David?
Damien.
Oh, I was close.
Like the devil.
Got it. I just guessed the devil, though. You are bossy. Michael D. Fasano. All right. So that's Michael, obviously. D, obviously. Fasano is Fasano.
Yes.
So you can check him out. Or his website. Yeah. Michael Damien Fasano.
Just follow me on the Insta.
Go to his website. Stalk his website. Yes. It's actually a very well done website.
I did it myself. Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Well,
I'm proud of that.
Actor, producer, manager, website.
Web designer.
Yeah, website
I
developer.
I need a new business card. Huh?
My gosh, this guy. Get a toilet paper roll to write down all of this stuff.
Listen,
on.
And there you can also see my Built for the Stage before and after photo, which I'm super proud of. Just don't look at the date because I dated it wrong.
Oh my gosh. I will have to put that in the description of this episode. All right, Michael, thanks again for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Joe. You're the best.
Don't forget about Broadway Podcast Network. Go to the website, broadwaypodcastnetwork.com. Go to the Instagram, Broadway Podcast Network. There's tons of good content on our network, like Josh Swallow's Broadway, or Ensemblist, or Equity One, or The Theater Podcast. There's like 90 of them. Just go see which one you like the best after you listen to mine. And you guys have yourself a good day. It's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.